Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is November 25, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Clearhouse, Nugen Payments join forces for opportunities offered to ISOs and PSPs. Alipay, WeChat Pay to open up their mobile wallet platforms to international card schemes. Razorpay to acquire payroll company Opfin. Paytm raises US$1 billion through Series G financing round. ACI Worldwide joins U.S. Faster Payments Council. Currency Fair launches cross-border collection solution. Merchants to balance frictionless checkout with increased payments security. Late payments epidemic continues to have ripple effects in Europe. Does Google checking foreshadow big tech, fintech payments changes? Worldline introduces commercial program for hackathon challenge finalists. Now let's get started. Clearhouse, Nugen Payments join forces for opportunities offered to ISOs and PSPs. Clearhouse, Europe-based merchant acquirer, has revealed as integrated with the payment gateway Nugen Payments. As per the agreement, this integration offers a future-proof white-label payment solution, which is market-ready for ISOs and PSPs to sell under their own brands. The white-label solution will allow new and established players to set up a full-fledged payment solution that has the latest features, payment methods, and fraud mitigation systems. A fully customizable technology can be localized for any European market and easily branded. Since its beginning, Clearhouse has onboarded over 10,000 e-commerce merchants across 33 European countries. On the other hand, Nugen Payments is a cloud-based, modular platform that provides smart features including transaction routing, customizable checkout, risk management, selling on social media, one-click payment, automated reconciliation, split payments, and real-time in-depth reporting. Alipay, WeChat Pay to open up their mobile wallet platforms to international card schemes. China-based payments companies Alipay and WeChat Pay have planned to open up their mobile wallet platforms to international card schemes. The move will help some of the more than 30 million people who visit China annually and sometimes struggle to find alternate payment methods. Alipay and Tencent account for 94% of China's mobile payment market. Both apps announced the plans in rapid succession after previously requiring users to have local accounts. As per its announcement, Alipay laid out a system that will work around current restrictions and can start immediately. Moreover, the company mentioned it is letting travelers use a prepaid card service provided by the Bank of Shanghai, which means that customers will have to periodically top off that account. The account will be limited in amount. WeChat Pay intends to let people more directly connect their existing cards to its app. Razorpay to acquire payroll company Opfin. Fintech company Razorpay has announced the acquisition of payroll and HR management software company Opfin. The acquisition will enable businesses to not only manage their payroll process and fund transfers, but also manage filing of taxes, compliances through a single platform without hiring any external vendors, Razorpay said in a statement. Razorpay X is the company's AI-driven neo-banking platform. This is Razorpay's second acquisition in the last 6 months, after Third Watch, an AI-driven company specializing in big data and machine learning for real-time fraud prevention. Besides, Razorpay launched corporate credit cards for SMEs and startups in partnership with RBL. Currently, the payments business forms 70% of Razorpay's revenue and the neo-banking platform, Razorpay X along with Razorpay Capital forms the rest 30%. The company has been witnessing a growth rate of 35% month-on-month. Paytm raises US$1 billion through Series G financing round. Paytm has raised US$1 billion through a new financing round, named Funding, according to PhoneArena. The company, now valued at $16 billion United States dollars, had its funding led by U.S. asset manager T. Rowe Price with existing investors Ant Financials, contributed $400 million United States dollars, SoftBank Vision Fund, contributed $200 million United States dollars, and Discovery Capital also participating in the round. The newly raised capital will be used by Paytm to court merchants, as the company looks to expand its presence among small and medium-sized businesses. The company will also be working on expanding their offerings in consumer internet, bringing new-age financial services such as lending, insurance, investments, stockbroking to the masses. Paytm Mobile Wallet enables users to transfer money to each other, pay for food delivery and clear utility bills, buy train and movie tickets as well as secure small loans. 197 Communications, which operates Paytm, has raised more than $3.3 billion United States dollars to date. ACI Worldwide joins U.S. Faster Payments Council. Real-time electronic payment and banking solution ACI Worldwide has announced joining the U.S. Faster Payments Council. As a member of the council, ACI supports its aim of facilitating faster payments ubiquity in the U.S. ACI currently supports 18 real-time domestic schemes around the world, including Zelle and TCH in the U.S., and will support FedNow as it moves toward production. ACI provides processing for approximately 50% of the UK's faster payments, UKFP, the core processing infrastructure for Malaysia's real-time retail payments platform, RPP, and STET's real-time payments platform for PSPs in Europe. Additionally, ACI has customers using UP real-time payments to access Singapore Fast and the Australian NPP, new payments platform. ACI also serves on the ISO 20022 Real-Time Payments Group and the EPC Instant Payments Technology Group. The FPC is an industry-led membership organization whose mission is to facilitate a payment system where Americans can safely and securely pay anyone, anywhere, at any time and with near-immediate funds availability. By design, the FPC encourages a diverse range of perspectives and is open to all stakeholders in the U.S. payment system. Currency Fair launches cross-border collection solution. International payments and money transfer service Currency Fair has announced Friday, November 22, the launch of its new cross-border collection solution for marketplaces, according to a press release. Dublin-based Currency Fair has a user community of 150,000, who have traded the equivalent of over £9 billion, $11.6 billion, and saved more than the equivalent of £230 million, $296 million, using the service. In addition to its new solution, the company signed a partnership with Chinese wholesale online marketplace, Buy World, which connects Chinese suppliers with 2.3 million global buyers and an average annual purchasing demand of $500 billion. The partnership will enable Buy World to transition to a full-service online model and outsource its global payment management to Currency Fair. Partnering with Currency Fair to manage global payments allows us to offer a fully integrated service with major cost and efficiency benefits for our suppliers and buyers, Buy World Chairman and CEO He Ju Fung said in the release. Currency Fair already has offices in Ireland, Singapore and Australia, and it has been working to expand into Asia, where it is estimated that 33% of global money transfers will take place by 2026. This partnership follows its acquisition last year of Hong Kong business Convoy Payments. 2019 has seen tremendous growth at Currency Fair, in terms of geographical expansion and diversification of service, said Paul Byrne, CEO and President of Currency Fair. This year, we have introduced some key Asian currencies to the platform, formally launched in Singapore and Hong Kong, and now bring our cross-border payment product designed to create significant efficiencies and savings for China's exporting small to medium-sized businesses. It's all part of our mission to bring fair financial services all over the world, to all segments of the market, he added. Late payments epidemic continues to have ripple effects in Europe. The late payments epidemic continues with particular impact in Europe. As seen below, PYMNTS offers up findings from around the globe on late payments including reach, scale and financial impact. Forbes noted this past week that in the United Kingdom, per data from Provise, larger companies are paying their smaller suppliers more slowly than they are paying their larger suppliers. Provise has estimated that businesses, on average, pay their smaller suppliers 30 days later than they do larger suppliers. The company has analyzed 10 million invoices spanning £24 billion of spending by large companies. The findings show that suppliers billing less than £10,000 annually do not have invoices processed until 35 days after paperwork is received. Thus, payment is late even before the invoice is approved. For the larger suppliers, invoices take just 3 days to process. The financial publication noted the government has estimated that the average time to pay invoices now stands at 37 days in the UK, beyond the 30-day period recommended. A separate report by Intuit QuickBooks found that in the UK, small businesses are spending about 56 million hours a year to chase down overdue payments. The firms are taking about 1 week a year to address late payments, according to the Intuit research. The time spent to get those payments is worth more than £6 billion, and more than 11% of those outstanding payments were more than 200 days late. Drilling down a bit, in the UK in November, a number of businesses within the construction sector have been suspended from the prompt payment code in the wake of having failed to pay their suppliers on time. The businesses include Eurovia Infrastructure Limited, Kier Integrated Services Limited, Kier Infrastructure and Overseas Limited, Kier Construction Limited, and Kier Highways Limited. The moves bring the number of companies suspended to about 20, Highways Magazine reported. Eurovia Infrastructure Limited is a subsidiary of Eurovia UK Limited and is one of our contracting legal entities in the UK, a spokesperson for Eurovia told the outlet. We fully recognize the importance of complying to the prompt payment code, taking the responsibility for paying our supply chain very seriously. Elsewhere, and on a larger scale, Western Europe might see its inaugural increase in insolvencies in several years, to the tune of 2.7%. That comes amid macro-level pressures, such as the US-China trade war and Brexit. In addition, as NewKerala.com reported, citing Atradius, payment practice data show trade credit is on the rise. Atradius estimates that companies in Western Europe transacted more than 60% of total sales value to B2B customers on credit, up from 41.4% last year. And, the company said, 30% of the total value of those B2B invoices were unpaid as of the due date. Breaking that down a bit, the highest tally of unpaid invoices comes in at more than 35% in the UK and nearly 35% in Greece. The lowest percentage was seen in Denmark at a bit more than 20%. A bit closer to home, a digital bank that raised $110 million from investors through a roster that includes actors Leonardo DiCaprio and Orlando Bloom is finding it a challenge to raise additional funding. The bank, Aspiration, which allows customers to choose how much they pay in return for the services they receive, had been seeking a Series C funding round earlier this year, as noted by co-founder Andre Cherny. The funding round, per CNBC, at $200 million, would have valued the company at $1 billion. But it has been a challenge to get investors on board, and the company has had to lay off as much as 15% of its staff and has been, according to unnamed sources, withholding some payments to vendors. The digital bank said that it has more than 1.5 million U.S. customers and has made a hallmark of being socially responsible as it invests customer deposits. Does Google checking foreshadow big tech, fintech payments changes? Banks and credit unions are certainly not on their way out, even as they face more pressure from challenger banks, fintechs and big tech in the coming decade. Consumers, after all, tend to trust their financial institutions, FIS, to safeguard their money and the data about their money, and they remain largely satisfied doing business with them. But as a recent Google announcement demonstrated, FIS are engaging with technology players in new ways as together, they seek to create ecosystems that offer new value to consumers. That was one of the main messages from a recent PYMNTS discussion featuring Karen Webster and Viduvor Bargavan, he goes by VB, the president and CEO of OnDot Systems. PYMNTS caught up with VB in the wake of big news from the big tech, payments and banking world. Google plans to launch consumer checking accounts next year in partnership with Citigroup and the Stanford Federal Credit Union. Codenamed Cash, the accounts will be handled by Citi and Stanford Federal. They are described by Google as smart, since they will provide account holders with money management tips to optimize and manage the funds in those accounts. The idea is to more seamlessly link those funds to payments and identity credentials that consumers can use to buy things, pay bills, and send money to others in and outside the Google ecosystem. While much is yet to be announced about Google Cash, VB expects them to provide an experience layer, while letting the financial institution provide the account and deal with regulatory compliance. Google's expertise is in UX design, he noted. By providing a streamlined user experience, they can add value to the financial institution and the cardholder, putting themselves into the commerce stream. The reaction to this news has taken the conversation about big tech, fintech and traditional financial services players to a new level, and it comes at a point in time when fintechs, big tech and challenger banks are all trying to use payments to monetize consumer interactions and the data that comes from those interactions, while keeping consumers happily transacting inside their ecosystems. The notion of creating an everyday app ecosystem like WeChat and Alipay in China is the ambition of every player, from Amazon to Apple to Facebook to PayPal and Google. The unanswered question is whether Fin is embedded into tech platforms or if it's the other way around. Banks are never going to become obsolete, VB said, but they could end up becoming stored value accounts. Banking services could be decoupled from banks. Race to the top. The tension between fintechs and FIS is real, as PYMNTS data shows. The Where Will We Bank Next? survey, a PYMNTS and Green Dot collaboration, found that 57.5% of consumers would be interested in banking with companies that are not financial. That holds true even though nearly 91% of consumers said their primary bank or credit union fits their needs. As VB told Webster, that suggests we should expect to see more of the kinds of moves Google announced 2 weeks ago. In his view, the race to the top in this area of payments will depend on bringing banking together with non-banking ecosystems in a way that uses data to provide greater insights into consumer behavior and payment flows, with the goal of building a better commerce and payments experience for the consumer. If you can bring consumer payments and consumer data together, that's where I think the future of payments and banking lies, VB said. He offered a general illustration to make that point. Consumers are increasingly using online and mobile channels and living in ecosystems like Google and Amazon where they shop for, discover and buy products. Linking banking services via Google or others could add real value by helping consumers keep a closer view of their spending, as well as integrating offers and money management tips to help their funds stretch into the future. Consumers get a holistic perspective of all their accounts and get a view of third-party data, and could bring all of that into a single platform, VB said. After all, he added, clarity is the first step toward effective action and planning. Webster, in a recent PYMNTS column, described why the move makes sense for Google. Instead of trying to be the bank, Google is leveraging the brand name, banking infrastructure and trusted reputation of two banks, one of which is among the world's largest global FIS, to acquire new users for that product and for Google Pay. If successful, these accounts could become the cornerstone for the everyday app ecosystem that every big tech and fintech player has its sights set on developing and that WeChat and Alipay have already created with great success in China. The idea is to bring more consumers to that single payments flow. That doesn't mean numerous issues and challenges won't abound for this new Google effort, along with similar plays in the world of digital commerce and payments. One big question is the balance between Google's brand and role in all of this, and the role of participating FIS. As VB explained, if Google's brand and role are more prominent, that's a fairly different experience than if the bank is more prominent. Consider, he said, how the Apple Card came into the market. Its advertising campaign very explicitly describes the product as made by Apple, not a bank. From what we know so far, at least, that's not the direction Google, with its new DDA account, seems to be taking. Citi and the Stanford Federal Credit Union will remain visible, but how visible remains TBD, at least publicly. The other big question is that of trust. As an advertising platform, Google uses a raft of search data to refine its algorithms and serve up results that reflect those preferences and behaviors. Consumers largely understand, and are okay with, how that data is used to serve up recommendations for flights from Chicago to Austin or home remodelers in Baltimore. But will consumers trust Google to keep their bank account information private and secure, and within the circle of trust between them and their banks? It's clearly uncharted territory, even as banks themselves use data analytics on consumer spend to serve static offers to cardholders. The difference is that those offer platforms live within the bank firewall, and consumer data from Bank AIST commingled with that from Bank B. Google and the banks they will partner with will have to convince consumers that they can be trusted with access to highly sensitive data, like how much money they have and how they spend it. What also remains TBD is whether Citi and Stanford are the first two banks to participate or the only two banks to participate. As VB posited, if Google is highly successful with Project Cash and mobile-first customers gravitate toward this experience, small banks could be left in the lurch. Even today, he said, smaller banks with Apple Pay and Google Pay are sounding off that they may not be equipped to deal directly with the thousands of small fists that want to be part of their payments network. Google's aim? All of this begs the question about Google's deeper aims with this move. Is this an effort to leverage the FI brand today to flip those consumers to more Google-centric financial services and payments play down the road? Or will Google use its new smart DDA as a platform to seed the participation of banks to move them closer to an everyday app ecosystem linking payments, commerce, and banking services? VB firmly believes it's the latter. It's an opportunity to bring all user data together, he told Webster. The question is how to get banks and fintechs to collaborate in the market like this. What Google is doing seems better than the competition. Collaboration just makes the most sense. Worldline introduces commercial program for hackathon challenge finalists. Worldline, Euronext, WLN, the European market leader in payment and transaction services, proudly announces the winners of its e-payments challenge 2019, the industry's unique hackathon that speeds up the innovation to business cycle. Worldline's e-payments challenge presents winners and smart new solutions to solve the payment challenges of tomorrow. Bezins, Frankfurt, the 25th of November 2019. The competition showed an extraordinary level of professionalism amongst the fintechs and produced spot on solutions to a multitude of industry challenges. Best examples are OneVisage that won the Grand Jury Award and CloudAsset, awarded with a special prize. The e-payments challenge is an open exchange forum which brings together fintech startups, with Worldline customers and its own experts for three intense days of co-creation. 25 fintech startups competed mid-September in Frankfurt on 15 challenges set by 11 clients to design solutions using Worldline assets. The results give evidence of the effectiveness of Worldline's unique co-creation recipe. The hands-on interaction in the triangle of competing fintech teams, senior representatives from some of the most established industry players such as Accor, Erste Bank and Op Finance, and Worldline's own experts demonstrating the technology on site secured high-quality solutions. Marc-Henri Desportes, deputy CEO of Worldline, said, "The e-payments challenge this year was a great success and the most productive melting pot of customers, Worldline experts and fintechs. The results are impressive, as most of the solutions that emerged from the intense collaboration between startups, clients and our experts are much more than creative ideas, they deliver clear solutions with full implementation potential. No wonder our clients found the challenge extremely insightful and they are now keen to move to the next stage in the co-creation process." Awarded solutions answer industry challenges of tomorrow in addition to 15 category winners. The grand jury selected OneVisage, a Swiss startup which aims to become a leading digital identity service provider, for the Grand Prix Award. Their smart solution helps prevent digital identity theft. François-Xavier Mill, VP Hotel Tools and Payment from Accor, is satisfied with the results. "Accor has been sponsoring the e-payments challenge for the second time now, and our expectations have been more than met. With Worldline and OneVisage, we take user experience and security of 3D authentication to a next level, whereby our customers will have full control of their biometric data. Christophe Rimolet, CEO of OneVisage, our vision is to disrupt the payments industry by introducing 3D facial biometric solutions that consumers can totally control. We are immensely proud of the award and even more about the trust that Accor puts in us to implement the solution. We look forward to deepening our partnership with Worldline and Accor to deliver our solutions and grow the company. A special prize was given to CloudAsset, a Finnish fintech startup and their digital payment platform, P3, for their truly digital in-store instant cards issuing in-app, based on a challenge set by a large European bank. Their solution digitizes the flow of finance for very unique customer requirements, in this case an instant in-app credit card issuance service that enables consumers from a specific segment to make credit-based purchases at partner merchants in less than a minute. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.